at first we thought we had to fight the stigma of being a college town, and we realized that it was one of the things we needed to embrace to define Boston fashion, because like you said, it's a global hub for education.
Welcome to FashionCast, the fashion industry's premier podcast where we explore all things fashion, from designers and the latest styles to sustainability and breaking fashion news. We keep you informed. Now, enjoy the show with your hosts, Michael Gloster and me, Christine Tuck-Tuck. On today's episode, we have Jay Cauldron, Director of Community Relations at the School of Fashion Design Boston, the founder of Boston Fashion Week, and the author of numerous fashion design books. Welcome to FashionCast, Jay.
Hi.
So, Jay, you've been in the fashion industry since the age of 14, living and studying in New York, and you've been instrumental in the fashion community in Boston for over 25 years. So how has the industry changed?
Some of the obvious things really stem out of technology and communications. You know, all the incredible digital tools we have now. I know for like when I was a student, it was really prohibitive to be able to do some of these things independently. And so that's been huge. But also a big change has been society and what we prioritize. So now, you know, we have issues of sustainability, fair trade, proper representation. So it's changing the dynamic of how students kind of approach fashion. And then obviously, you know, when designers are get into the marketplace, what they value and the stories they tell about what's important to them. So that's changed a lot because, I mean, I was studying as a teenager at the High School of Fashion Industries in New York City. And at the time, it was all about more is more, you know, very glam, very excess in fashion. And there wasn't a lot of attention being paid to a lot of the issues that are sort of very present today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting, because just stick with the sustainability for one second, if you would. So, and obviously that's like the hottest topic in fashion, you know, so I'm just curious, because Christine and I recently were at the College for Creative Studies here in Detroit, and, you know, actually the chair of that particular program mentioned that, you know, the students are requesting and almost basically demanding sustainable materials to work with. Is that happening at the School of Fashion Design?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the programs in the area are really evolving. I think what you just described is kind of what I think is going to affect the future of fashion design programs, because for students, it's very important. You know, they're really aware of the issue. It's important to them. So they are kind of, demanding that sustainability be a part of that whole strategy behind designing. And I think some programs are really kind of leading the way and other programs are playing a little catch up, but it's always a part of the conversation. Now, it's not even a matter of a teacher bringing it up. Students bring it up right from the get-go. So, you know, we could be addressing everything from organics to recycling to zero waste pattern making. So there's a lot out there. And the other thing about sustainability, you know, it runs the danger of becoming kind of a buzzword, because there are so many ways into solving that issue. And no one can be 100% sustainable, but I think the fun part is going to be sort of exploring how many different ways and how many different choices you have, because for designers, it also creates this creative challenge, you know, like, how do I do this in a way that works for my business model?
Right. And I think that the whole word sustainability with regard to fashion is somewhat misunderstood, you know, and we've gone through umpteen different definitions here in with regard to the show. So I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. I think that's curious that it's not a phenomenon just in Detroit, and I didn't think it would be, so it's kind of spreading across the country. Is it a generational thing? I mean, it seems like people have been concerned about the environmental impact. You've got the Stella McCartneys of the world, you know, the Eileen Fishers of the world. You know, it's not as if this is new, but is this really a generational thing, and is it going to make a difference at the end of the day?
I think initially, like when you originally thought about sustainability, it was almost a novelty. And in the beginning, it was very cost prohibitive to be really as sustainable as you possibly could. But I think the more the customers are demanding it, the more designers need to address it. You know, and as big companies transform, it's going to be a given and not a novelty. You know, it's just going to be a part of the equation like everything else, almost the way you would calculate, you know, what your return on investment is. You would, you know, kind of think about what the return to the planet is, you know, so that you're thinking about how to do things in a way that are not damaging, you know, ecosystems and things like that. So I think it's just a slow process. I don't think it's going to happen overnight. But I wouldn't say that it's generational necessarily, because I know a lot of teachers to whom this is like first and foremost in the design process. And they're finding all these different interesting ways to explore it, you know, traveling to other countries and seeing how fabrics are dyed naturally. And again, like I mentioned, I love all the fun challenges of zero waste pattern making. I think, you know, there are a lot of levels, but I think it's going to be this demand from the consumer that's going to affect companies, and they're going to want design students, you know, or designers who come out of schools knowing how to address some of these problems.
You are a native New Yorker, but now you've been living in Boston for quite some time, and I've never been to Boston. So I'm just curious to know, how would you describe the Boston style?
That's really hard, because I think most major cities have pretty much, with the exception of boutiques and, you know, smaller shops, all the same stores. It's really about kind of tribes within a city. You know, you have the ladies who lunch, you have the kids, you know, who are a little more edgy. So there's always a mix. I think the fun part about thinking about regional fashion is to actually tap into the stereotypes. Like, you know, you think of New England and you think of college and you think of Ivy League, but I think you have to embrace that.
The preppy style.
Yes. But not being defined by it, but saying, okay, this is a part of our history and our culture. It's a part of our legacy, how people have seen us for a long time. And then having that mix into all the other influences that we get from social media and also the retail element. Again, you know, every major street has pretty much all of the same stores. You know, it used to be that you'd have to travel to New York to visit some shops, and now they have regional presence, you know, in almost every major city.
You still have a lot of boutiques there in Boston.
Yes. I mean, that's a nice thing that we still have some, you know, original homegrown shops that are doing cutting edge things, too. You know, they're buying from all around the world. And now with access, they really can have just about everything that they want to present their view on fashion.
OK, but I am curious, because the influence from the college demographic in Boston is just massive. You know, 250,000 or more college students, 50 university and colleges. You've got students from around the world bringing, you know, their own culture and fashion and sense of fashion to the city, which is dynamic. I love it. And, you know, maybe I'm just dead wrong, but I'm thinking it's got to have some influence on, you know, the so-called, you know, Boston style. That's our word for the week, isn't it, Kristen? Yes. Yeah. Don't take that. No, that's our word. Yeah. So, yeah. Do you think so? I don't know.
I think it does. But I think for me, it's a little different, because it's not so much sort of the media version of what Boston style is. For me is the impact that people who are training here to be fashion designers have, because the whole idea that it was a college town, I remember at the very start of Boston Fashion Week, at first we thought we had to fight the stigma of being a college town. And we realized that it was one of the things we needed to embrace to define Boston fashion, because, like you said, it's a global hub for education. So young people come from all around the world. And then something really magical happens, because they're all sort of socializing, you know, all the different schools, all the different departments. So they're building this network and they're influencing each other. So the mix that you get, the influence here of fashion designers being trained here in Boston and in the region is pretty amazing, because it's not a narrow scope. They have firsthand access to this international audience. And then on top of that, they grow up together. You know, they go out, they graduate and go into the industry. Some of them go back to other places around the world. So they have this global network, and, you know, professionals in all different areas are now the audience for these designers who they basically, you know, who trained at the same time. So there are a lot of benefits to the fact that it's a college town. And I think it ends up influencing fashion actually on a global scale, not directly the way, you know, we think about normally with media, but with actual sort of interpersonal relationships with their peers.
You're making me think through here, because I'm quite familiar with New York too, and all the fashion schools there and the prestige. And it seems to me Boston's kind of holding their own based on what you just said. I mean, that's pretty dynamic what you just said in terms of this global reach out of Boston.
Right. And I think also one of the things to keep in mind that in many ways, the new frontier for fashion, a lot of it is happening here, because you're thinking about performance fabrics, technology, scientific advancements, and a lot of it is happening here, you know, and even like schools like MIT, of course, but then you have Harvard and Babson, and it's amazing. I get students that come to me from those schools, and they, you know, they're getting great business training, you know, for apps and different types of e-commerce sites and all these kinds of things. And so there's a lot of innovation happening around fashion in that way, because they want to specialize in fashion. So it isn't just the fashion designers, but the whole industry that's being affected by people who are being trained and starting their businesses here and launching, you know, companies and experimenting. In many ways, Boston becomes this laboratory for ideas.
Just staying on that subject a little bit. So the School of Fashion Design, you know, are they collaborating with some of these other schools? You know, because you're talking about this outreach from Boston, and it's I'm kind of going down this rabbit hole because I love what you're talking about, and it does dovetail into some of these other issues that we wanted to talk about. But I think, you know, it's interesting because I know that a lot of these schools do collaborate and talk to each other about different programs and different expectations, and what's going on in this part of the country may not, you know, clearly what's going on in LA or Miami is not going on in Boston. I mean, there's just, it's a different vibe altogether.
Right.
But is there some kind of national collaboration? Do you talk to colleagues across the country?
Oh, definitely. I mean, any opportunity to share information is an exciting, you know, exciting time. You know, and besides the students interacting, many of the teachers teach at different schools. Like I teach at the School of Fashion Design. I teach at the Massachusetts College of Art and Design. I teach at the Museum of Fine Arts. So I get to interact with other educators and different types of students as well. So there's a lot of crossover, and then often events or special programs will bring people from different schools together to collaborate and to kind of share the space. We had an event at the end of Fashion Week last year called The Process, and we brought five schools together that were represented in a presentation that presented to the public, you know, what the design process is, and getting to meet these young designers coming out of schools directly. So any opportunity to do that is really an exciting thing. And it does speak to the fact that Boston itself is a very nurturing place for exploring ideas in every subject, but in particular in fashion, we've really found that collaborative spirit permeates everything.
So you founded Boston Fashion Week over 25 years ago, and
yes,
you made it a successful event. What does it look like behind the scenes in terms of planning for such an event?
Well, the key thing to keep in mind is that Fashion Week in Boston, like in most regional centers, it has to reflect that community. And for us, it's really been about treating it like a civic initiative. So we're not a production company. Everybody is volunteer. We don't make any money for doing it. And the idea is to curate and facilitate things happening. And then, of course, we create certain events that we think are missing from the mix so that we have a real rounded picture. But the real process behind the scenes for us is year long, and it involves research. It involves outreach, where we have meetings and try to develop collaborations, try to find out what museums are doing that year, what members of the community, what schools are focusing on. And then we develop programming that reflects that, because one of the things we learned really early on in that process of developing all this is that we couldn't dictate, like we couldn't say, this is the way Fashion Week is going to be. We had to let Fashion Week reflect what was actually happening here, because it's really, I think when it gets dangerous is when we try to copy what another city is doing. And you know, there are certain cities where Fashion Week is a very social thing, you know, where it's all about the parties. And then others, it's all about retail, you know, and shopping. And those are all great things because they reflect the interests of people, you know, around fashion in those cities. And for us, we found that, you know, educational programming, collaboration with other industries is key to keeping things fresh.
So are you attracting any designers outside the region, like any international designers to the event?
Well, over the past 25 years, we've attracted from all over. We've had people come in from different parts of the world. We've had different parts of the United States represented. But most important have been sort of the idea of nurturing new talent. So that's been a big focus for the bulk of the week has been about that for most years.
So you have some emerging designers as well.
It feels like we have this endless sort of feed of them because, you know, we have so many fashion design programs that every year they're definitely, it's like a new crop of incredible talent. It's really exciting. You know, many of them stay here, but some of them, like I said, might go back to their country where their families are or different parts of the United States. So it's really exciting to see that reach go so far.
So Jay, let me ask you, just stick on this, the Boston Fashion Week for a moment. It almost sounds like so many of these fashion weeks have really, really changed, and they've and not for the better. It sounds like yours has grown. I love this community outreach initiative, the different communities participating in different ways. So you may end up ironically becoming the standard bearer for fashion weeks. I mean, really. And you're saying you're not getting a lot of support. I mean, financial, you've got a lot of volunteerism going on, but what about, is it actually set up? Is Boston Fashion Week a 501c3 nonprofit? Where's the money coming from? Because this isn't free. I know it's not.
Right. Well, it's about people stepping up. That's the way we kind of address it, because we don't accept any money. So the idea is that we want people to step up, and we'll find, like, if something needs sponsorship, like, you know, just this past fall for our big opening event, the Mandarin Oriental offered to host that event. And what they did was they found sponsors within their circle who wanted to support the community. And so every year, it really depends on who steps up. And I get to be, part ambassador, part cheerleader, and, you know, really kind of show them the value of coming together and supporting, you know, this community, because they bring an excitement. Obviously, there's an entertainment value of it all. You know, having fashion shows and parties is a lot of fun. But then they also see the value of cultivating new talent, you know, and that becomes sort of an investment in our community. So that's really our approach here. And it works here because it's kind of organic to the organizations and businesses in the region. They respond really well to it. So we're very lucky about that. It's really about, again, every event kind of putting together what they want to do independently. And when they're looking for something like a sponsorship or a venue, we do our best to find good matches. And like I said, sometimes we do definitely create special events that we think are, as I said earlier, kind of missing from the mix. You know, we want to focus on, like at opening night last year, VR is an exciting thing that I'm exploring right now. So we wanted to introduce that to the public. So we got support for that. And, you know, it's all about having people who that's part of the, what they do. You know, like when you think of a big hotel, they are hosts. And so it's a natural tie-in, and it's not. And the other thing we do is that we design our events based on what people want to do. So it's not a big ask for someone, you know, to say to someone, what would you like to show off about what you offer? So, you know, the hotel were incredible hosts and they made everyone feel amazing. And, but we, it wasn't about sort of demanding we want this and that. We asked them, what did they feel comfortable sharing? Like what was, you know, you have to address what people budget for time, for resources. You know, most major companies have room for developing their relationship with the community that they're in.
Yeah, that's great.
It's amazing because I'm certain that most cities don't have that kind of collaboration. I know Detroit doesn't. But Christine, did you have a different question?
Yeah. So does Boston have a fashion incubator for emerging designers like other cities such as Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Fashion Incubator and the Chicago Fashion Incubator? So does Boston have something like that?
To be honest with you, that is really kind of the nature of the Boston fashion scene. There's no specific incubator. There are a few really great resources like Factory 45 and Thread Tech that really offer new designers some tools and access to resources to help develop themselves, which is obviously really important for a new designer to learn, you know, how to manufacture and how to interact with that side of the business. So there are always initiatives and always projects, but not like an organization right now that focuses exclusively on the creative side of incubating sort of new talent.
Why do you think that is?
Well, like I said, I think it happens kind of organically. Like more established designers really go out of their way to support newer designers.
Okay.
And the fact that it's such a college town, everybody is kind of part coach, part mentor, part teacher. So that's a natural extension of everything. So I think that's probably why. I mean, I think there's always room for it. I would welcome it. I think that would be exciting. And definitely the resources we do have are exciting because they're offering very valuable things.
Because I was going to say, what you're describing is one gigantic fashion incubator.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just one like, large incubator,
yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't want to say that, even though I just did, because yeah. Sounds like you could use a fashion incubator in Boston.
Oh, yeah. No, we'd welcome any new initiatives. It's always a great thing to add to the mix.
So you've attended do you attend a lot of regional and international fashion events? And if so, which events do you prefer to go to? It seems like a lot of the fashion academics do attend these and take notes and, you know, come back and, you know, try to incorporate some of this information into their courses. Is that something that you do or you've been able to do?
I did it a long time. I used to actually cover New York Fashion Week in its early days when it was 7th on 6th and obviously Fashion Group International events, things like that. But honestly, over the past, I don't know, maybe 10 years, I've kind of gravitated towards programming events and conferences and things like that that were about other industries. Because I felt like, you know, when I was going to some, you know, some lecture or event about science or tech or the arts, it gave me a fresh way of looking, because a lot of people are trying to solve the same problems, but they're approaching it in different ways. So it opened up my eyes and it started to see my own industry in a different way. So I think when it comes to what I invest in for events or lectures and panels and things like that, or even coursework or workshops, it's usually around kind of exploring a new skill or a new tool set.
You've authored numerous books on fashion. So what motivated you to teach fashion through publishing?
Well, I was very lucky because I was actually approached about my first book to write the book. And I was trying to figure out what it would be, you know, so, and I really settled on a primer to the industry. So my first book, it was really about an introduction, because I found so many students were coming to school with slightly unrealistic expectations and didn't have an idea of the scope of it. And I wanted to do that. So that really was the motivation behind the first book. And then kind of bookending that, because I've written other books independently and as a collaborator, a co-author. But my last book, What They Didn't Teach You in Fashion School, really came out of students coming back to me and letting me know, you know, they had studied business. Some of them go to two schools at the same time. You know, they'll get the degree from BU or Babson in business, and they come to us for their fashion training, so they know how to make a garment, pattern work, sew everything. And then they come back and go, what do I do with it all? You know, kind of like there were so many little things, because the role of the designer isn't just designing clothes anymore. They have to think on a much bigger scale.
There's a lot of moving parts.
Exactly. And so I found like 9 major areas, and they became the structure for the book. And it was really amazing, because I had been teaching a class that fit this description of all the things that they needed, but I would have needed like 9 textbooks to cover it. So this book became the new text for the book, because it really brought together answers to the questions that all my students have been asking for years.
Wow.
So is that
great.
Book used in other fashion schools and courses, do you think? Or, I mean, you would
that's
probably
a good question.
Know.
I was wondering.
I honestly don't know. It's been sold all around the world, but I don't know. They don't give me information of like who adopts it, but we definitely use it at our school.
So they teach emerging designers the ins and outs of the business, pretty much.
Well, it's almost not business. I mean, even though we touch on business subjects, I like to call it a practice. So, just the way a lawyer or a doctor would have a practice, that's the way I like to approach building a career in fashion, so that it's not just about the social, not just about the pretty dresses, but the scope of everything, and also maintaining a really good balance for your career personally.
So you're teaching online too, right? Through Creative
Yes.
Live.
Wow.
And how long have you been doing that?
Well, I just developed this one sort of multifaceted course with them a few years back. Yeah, that was a really exciting experiment. I had never done that before.
And is it still ongoing?
It's still being offered. I actually had a student recently taking one of my classes, and she was going to miss the first class. So she ended up finding my online course, and she used that to make up for the class she took and she was missing, so that she would be on schedule with everything. So that was a fun treat to see people doing that. But the Creative Live experience was really amazing, because I thought my experience, I'd been teaching for a long time at that point, and I thought my experience of teaching a class would influence my Creative Live class. And it was just the opposite. The way they film and the way they segment things actually really challenged me. I had to rethink my whole presentation, and I learned so much that it ended up influencing how I do classes, because they approach everything in very digestible content, because not everybody online goes through the whole course at once. So 5-minute segments have to stand on their own. They have to be like this little nugget of information. And I have to say, my students have really responded to how I've adapted my classes to incorporate some of those, those structural elements of the Creative Live class.
So those are all advantages to that outside of the classroom and just in front of the camera kind of teaching. But have there been any disadvantages to it?
Well, the thing that I miss, the biggest disadvantage for me is that, when we filmed it, I had a small classroom. But of course, that personal connection, I miss that, because that back and forth with students, and it's always a new group. I miss that personally. So I love the in-person face-to-face, because you just never know what's going to happen.
It seems like you've been around the block in the fashion. I mean, you're like a fashion walking fashion encyclopedia, man. It's unbelievable. So I love the fact that your career is so diverse, so rich. I mean, you're down for the struggle too with all this Boston Fashion Week stuff. So who do you think most influenced you at this point from the fashion world?
Well, I've had a lot of fashion heroes. I mean, they're obviously designers, both past and present, who've been big influence on me creatively. And I know this will sound corny, but honestly, the biggest influence for me in my career have been my students. It's really true, because there are plenty of jobs you can go to and be creative. But here I get to share my approaches, but then they're always challenging. They always have new ideas for things. So it keeps me on my toes in, you know, and when you're in the moment in a classroom, time just flies by. And then they also, you know, their needs kind of have affected my choices when it comes to everything from writing to doing events, doing museum work, like all these different kinds of things have been influenced by what I've learned from them.
That's nice. So, Jay, besides preparing for Boston Fashion Week in October, are there any other big projects for 2020?
I wouldn't say for 2020. I think this is going to be a longer investment of time. But right now, I started on a big research project, and I'm really trying to learn from the bigger scope of our community and see how fashion can be explored in other ways. I can just give you an example. A few years ago, one of the things that inspired me was Peter DeMuro at the Dance Complex here in Boston approached me about doing something about the choreography of. And so he was doing this thing where he's reaching out to sports figures and chefs, and in my case, you know, someone in design. And he wanted to explore the movement of the process, you know, as a dancer and as a choreographer. But for me, those kinds of interactions kind of provide access to fashion and the idea of fashion to audiences that normally would think, oh, that's not me. You know, I'm not, that's not part of my world. And I want to explore those kinds of opportunities with other parts of our community. So everything from arts and entertainment, the idea of alternatives to a fashion show, for instance, learning more about virtual reality and film and exhibition, so that we have a bigger menu to play with. Because I feel like, especially after 25 years, you know, the community starts to build these kind of boundaries, you know, like, oh, that's the limit of us. And yeah, we're a smaller regional fashion community. But the minute we start to explore our relationships with these other areas, we start to expand. So that's kind of my big project. And, you know, it might be a book, an installation or something like that, or a combination of things. So it's all in the works still right now. But that's one of the things that's kind of taking up any extra time I might have, you know, between projects.
Where do you find the time?
Yeah, right. Well,
I ask myself that a lot.
So yeah, that's so creative. I love what this other artist is doing. And, you know, it's like only in Boston could something like this happen. That's wonderful. What is the time frame? When does he think he's going to be done with this project?
Oh, well, that project actually took place a while ago, but it's just one of the examples of like the kind of creative things that are happening in other disciplines. And I just want to officially kind of start to explore that in more detail right now, because I think it'll provide new outlets, you know, for our design community, but also for our students and even our educators. They can explore new ways of educating the next generation of designers.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Jay Calderon, thank you so much for participating and appearing on FashionCast. It's been a pleasure and a great, great honor. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for thinking of me. This is a lot of fun to be able to talk about all this.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe, tell a friend, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also visit us on our website at fashioncastpodcast.com. I'm Christine.
And I'm Michael.
Stay beautiful.